That music can mean only one thing on the Ro-Contra with Anna DeVlantis. Congressman to the stars, Adam Kinzinger, is joining us on the Super Celebrity Hotline.
Hey, Congressman.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Nothing to see here. Move along.
Move along.
Yeah. Hey, all right, a couple things. Before we get into what's happening in Washington, there was an announcement a couple of hours ago that it appears that there's going to be more American troops heading to Iraq. It's unclear. I think the number that was reported, and again, I don't know how confirmed that is 1,000 new service personnel, boots on the ground in Iraq. You served in Iraq. What is your thought on that?
So I think we need to, you know, do whatever is necessary to win this fight. And, you know, a lot of people get understandably a little nervous when we talk about ground troops. But, you know, frankly, that's what ground troops are trained for, is to go and not necessarily, you know, the discussion of taking ISIS head on as a military force, but stiffening the spine of the Iraqis, giving them the leadership they need to get this done. I mean, the Iraqis, you know, obviously have the most skin in the game on this. So I trust General Mattis and that organization there to make the right decisions. And from what I understand, President Trump is really leaning on him to do that. And so, look, I say whatever's necessary to win this fight, we got to use. And so I'll be supportive.
Okay. Now there's an investigation into these airstrikes in Mosul, and they say that maybe as many as 100 civilians, perhaps more, were killed in the U.S.-led coalition airstrikes in Mosul. Are you in favor of an investigation into that? Is that collateral damage? How do you look at that?
Yeah, I always think anytime either a mistake or something like this happens, we need to know, because it helps us to refine our targeting. It helps us to figure out, obviously, what went wrong and how to correct that. But look, it's always amazing to me that, you know, something like this, which should make news, I'm not questioning that, but makes as big of news as it does when you have the Russians, for instance, in Syria just indiscriminately bombing civilians, or discriminately doing it with, you know, GPS guided or laser guided bombs, so intentionally doing it, and they don't get the same level of scrutiny. But we definitely need to find out what went wrong, because, you know, it's war. War is messy, and in many cases too, we need to keep in mind that ISIS and these terrorist groups use these civilians as human shields. So we need to find out.
Okay. Speaking of Russia, glad you brought that up. There's some stuff in the news about that. First of all, Devin Nunes, he's a colleague of yours in the House of Representatives. I'm certain you are familiar with him. You know him.
Yep.
Do you think that there should be a special investigator, separate investigation, maybe House and Senate joint investigation, or an independent counsel in this? And do you think that Devin Nunes has spoiled, for lack of a better term, this investigation for the House?
Yeah, so I'm not there yet into saying an independent investigation. Here's kind of the problem with this story is, like, anything, and it's maybe the media nowadays with what's going on and in terms of, you know, the high level of competition, but any kind of Russia story that comes out is like the maximum intensity of, you know, it's an 11 on a 10 scale nowadays. So it's hard to really discern, okay, what is really a big deal and what isn't. You know, the words coming out today that, you know, President's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, met with the Russian ambassador. Well, I don't think that's an 11, right? But then, you know, the questions of the unmasking of Americans is a big deal. So, look, I think right now, I know Devin Nunes, and I can tell you, I know he wants to do the right thing. I think right now the investigation in the Senate, which, interestingly, the Senate's investigating all this Russia stuff too, but they're not in front of the cameras every moment. The House is. I think let's see how these investigations go, and if I feel, you know, like we get to a point, which I don't think we're at yet, where this deserves an independent investigator, let's do it. But you know, at this point, let's let the House and Senate work their way.
All right. Well, I just want to say one thing. Here's what the big deal is. Here's why it's a big deal. Can't get a straight answer. Nobody will give you a straight answer. No one's giving the press a straight answer from the White House. Or Devin Nunes gives, you know, he gave a bunch of different conflicting reports. There was this whole skullduggery on the night before all of this happened. Was it last Wednesday night? He ditched his own staff. He got into an Uber, went to what appears to be the Eisenhower Executive Office Building on the campus of the White House complex. I've never heard the term White House complex in my life until today. So, but the EEOB, which is right across the street from across the street from the White House, that's where Veep takes place. In case you're wondering,
sure. Now we get it.
Yeah. So That's that when so he goes there. Was he meeting with did the White House tell him to go there? Nobody gives a straight answer. So when answers are not forthcoming, very easy right now to blame the media as the White House is doing. But when answers are not forthcoming, and it seems like people are trying to cover their own keister by not answering the questions, that's when the scrutiny gets intense.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And you know, I guess my point wasn't to say that this doesn't deserve that scrutiny. It does. And I think, you know, answers need to come out, and the media is going to do its job to get to the bottom of it. They're not going to let this go. My point was the broader Russia thing, which is every new piece of information is an 11. But in terms of this stuff and this information, I think the media needs to continue to do its job, which it's, you know, I believe in the role of the media in our constitutional democracy is let's get to the bottom of what happened. Now, obviously, there are some sources that probably can't be revealed and things, but, you know, look, the Intel Committee should have oversight of the White House. And if there's concern they don't, then that's an issue.
Congressman, does it strike you in any way as problematic that Nunes went to the White House to take a look at this information about the intelligence surveillance and not the Capitol, and then went and briefed the president? And the way he went about doing this, does it concern you?
Well, I think it deserves answers. I'm not concerned necessarily by going to the White House to get briefed because, again, as you mentioned, it's a complex. White House is really not just the House. That's the smallest part of the whole thing. It is basically the entire executive branch, and it is not uncommon for members of the Intel Committee to go to the executive branch where the NSC or some of these other agencies are to get briefed and access to information that they wouldn't necessarily have on the Capitol complex. We have, as members of Congress, clearance for all this information, but we don't necessarily have access until we go to a different location. But in terms of, again, the broader issue of there is definitely an optics thing with going to the White House to get briefed on the information and then taking it to the president. And I think that needs to be cleared up. And I know the congressman or the chairman is going to be doing some more interviews today. Maybe that gets cleared up, or maybe it creates more questions. Who knows?
Does it create questions about whether Nunes can still head up an inquiry into the improper contact with the Russians and the Trump administration aides or officials?
That's why I think, you know, when we see the answers to what's going on, and you guys need to continue to ask the questions in the media, that will get to that point. I'm not there yet of saying that. And also keep in mind, there is a whole Senate Intel Committee investigation that's happening as well.
Hey, did you hear that this healthcare thing collapsed last week? Did you hear that? All right. So as a congressman, where do you see the problem here being? Because now the president is talking about it. And I think it's very interesting, sort of strange bedfellows often does politics make, right? But
yes.
He's talking about wanting to, maybe he can build a centrist coalition with Democrats because he doesn't seem to be able to get along very well with the Freedom Caucus and people very much on the right side of the Republican Party.
Right.
Look, if you want to do something about healthcare, you have to get to 216 now, but eventually 218 votes to get it done. And there are 30 people in our party called the House Freedom Caucus. And I think it's important for me to kind of quickly walk you through this. Those 30 people are unwilling to get to yes. So here's what happens. So the bill comes out. The so-called Freedom Caucus decides they want to make a demand to remove essential health benefits from that bill. Well, states can set their own essential health benefits. Fine. So then, you know, they went to the president with the understanding, and the president had the understanding that if he did that, this would get taken care of. And then they came back and said, you know what? That's not enough. We want to actually take away the protections of pre-existing conditions, it's called Title I, and kids staying on their parents' plan until they're 26. Well, as you recall, the president and all the Republicans basically said this will be that will be included in the new health care reform. So then to go to the president with an unmeetable demand, which they did, so that they could then turn around and say no to the bill and tank it. They bear 100% responsibility. 7% of the elected members of Congress bear 100% of responsibility for this not coming through. And they have got to learn, as Ted Poe, who resigned from the Freedom Caucus today, said in his number of interviews, we have to learn how to govern. We have to learn how to get to yes. And they're not doing that. And one more quick point. They like to say, well, they weren't involved in the writing of this health care bill. First off, two members of the House Freedom Caucus are on my committee. We wrote the bill. But we went through regular order. Yet 18 months ago, they deposed Speaker Boehner because they said Speaker Boehner wasn't doing regular order. So they are the no caucus. They will never get to yes because they can get on TV and the media by being obstructionists. So if that's the case, you have to find votes somewhere. And so that's what the president's talking about.
But if the president says he's moving on to tax cuts and tax reform, not infrastructure, doesn't it seem unlikely or maybe even pie in the sky that Democrats are going to get on board with his legislation?
Yeah, it may be pie in the sky, but I think it's worth exploring. I mean, you know, tax reform, when you talk about getting rid of loopholes, you know, making it revenue neutral, simplifying, I think there is an opportunity to pick up a few, maybe a couple dozen, maybe a dozen Democrats in this process. You're not going to get Nancy Pelosi because she's invested in the politics of it. But I think it's not unrealistic to say that we can at least reach out and have the conversation. And if it, you know, if it collapses, it collapses. But I also think there's an opportunity to actually tie tax reform and infrastructure together.
Well, let's talk. Okay, so I want to go back to this right before we let you go. Okay, House Energy and Commerce Committee, which you're a member, right? So yep. You are the guys who are tasked with as part of the Commerce Committee figuring out how to fit this 400-pound gorilla into an overnight package from DHL, right? So that's a bit of an issue. So one toe of the gorilla got in, and I guess the issue here now is that the president said, you know, he threatened, hey, you know, we could just let this thing explode and then the Democrats will wear the jacket for it. He said that privately. Now on Friday, he publicly said, well, you know, I can't do anything about it. We're just going to have to let it explode. It's just going to explode. And then, you know, the Democrats are going to come crawling back to us for this. He misreads the politics of that completely. Republicans own this thing now. They couldn't get it done. And there's no way to turn around. I mean, he could turn around and blame the Freedom Caucus, and that's probably a valuable target there in some respects.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he's got to find a way to say to the American people, this thing, if Obamacare is as bad as every Republican says that it is, and it's going to fail, and it's going to implode, and it's going to be this terrible thing, it's bad for America. If it's that bad, Republicans have the House, the Senate, and the executive branch. They got to do something. And you cannot sit back there and do something. It is your committee. Now, today they're fainting toward maybe the White House saying, well, you know, we're not completely done with this. What is your take on that? Are they done with it? Can something get done this year?
I don't know. It's tough because under budget, you know, there's all kinds of rules under budget reconciliation, which will, you know, eat up 20 minutes if we talk about it. But look, here's where I'm at now. We have to do something to fix it. And if that takes fixing the current construct, I'm in. If we can, you know, revisit repeal replace, I'm in. Because I agree with you. I think Republicans now own this. And I think people in my party, and I've heard them say, well, let, you know, that Obama's going to own this when it collapses. That's not true. Because people will look and say, yeah, maybe the law he passed, but you guys have an opportunity to fix it. And the party in charge always bears responsibility for the chaoses of the day. So I think it's incumbent on us, you know, let's look, it may not make people happy for me to say this in my own party, but look, repeal and replace, we either get it done or it's dead. And if it's dead, we move on to fixing the current law because there are people that are really affected by this.
Could Republicans replace without repealing?
I think it's kind of semantics in terms of what you call it at that point.
Right.
But I think, you know, fixing and replacing.
Always has been. That's the problem. It always has been semantics. And they're playing politics. And then one of the reasons this thing collapsed is because they're playing semantics with it. If they had said replace, not repeal, they might have gotten some Democrats to come over with them.
Yeah, and I think when it's all said and done, we've got to remember that politics is one thing. You know, politics are important, but these are real people's lives we're talking about. This isn't just who's going to win the next election, and we've got to get past thinking about the next election constantly.
Yes, that Congressman, from your lips to Donald Trump's ears, or to God's ears, or anybody else's ears that will be willing
somebody
to listen. All right, thank you, appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Congressman.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Adam Kinzinger, right there. He is the congressman to the stars, right there.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you, me, and Wolf Blitzer. That's who, all he does is talk to us all day long.
And when we can tear him away from Wolf because he's always on. Sometimes we catch him in the building too.
Yeah.
Cheating on us.
Let me tell you, he's on Wolf Blitzer more than Mrs. Blitzer. I'm going to tell you that right now. Oh, what'd I do?
One way to put it.
Oh, God. Here is Violetta Pratt-O-Matic with the WG and Traffic Trouble Spots.